Welcome in, everyone. It is another episode of Inside Boxing. We are presented by PPV.com. We're part of Yahoo Sports and the Uncrowned Fighting Empire. I'm Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri. It's Thursday, September 3rd. It is the last weekend of summer. I'm sad. It was a great summer, but I'm looking forward to what the rest of the year has in store. Looking forward to this weekend. Some interesting fights here in New Jersey. Katie Taylor's farewell fight in Ireland. Some other news and notes that we will touch on. All that and more coming up here on Inside Boxing. Hello, Chris. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Dan. Summer's been over down here. I'm in South Florida, for those of you listening in. We started school like 2-3 weeks ago. And for those who don't know, I am an adjunct professor down here at NSU, so I do have some classes to teach. So we were,
I always forget that.
Yeah. I do have a master's degree in nutrition, guys, so I do still keep my toe dipped in academia. But yeah, our summer's been over, even though it's brutally, brutally hot. But it's only 10:30 a.m., but I am charged up. I went to Costco this morning, and I got my breakfast glizzy on. That breakfast hot dog literally opened up the kiosk where they have the food. And I was like, you guys open yet? And it was me and one other guy. And the other guy was in like a roller scooter.
One guy was scratching his neck. Yeah, I need one of them glizzies.
Dude, it was hilarious. He had one of those scooters. Like, he was an older guy, heavy guy, whatever. And he was literally doing the beep, beep, beep backwards, like forward and back to get the attention of the people working. And then he was like, excuse me. He's like, you guys open yet? This disgruntled girl comes over and she's like, yeah, not technically, but yeah, what do you need? He's like, oh, well, one hot dog, please. I was like, yeah, over here too.
Breakfast glizzies at Costco.
Yeah, $1.50 has not changed.
Oh yeah, I told you on via text the owner of Costco. Obviously, he has to upcharge that. He's been told by the people at Costco like we need to charge more. Because of inflation and everything. He's like, no, I'm keeping it at $1.50. It's one of the greatest things going in this beautiful country of ours.
He's an American hero. And I don't think he gets enough shine. So we're going to give him some shine right now. Whatever that guy's name is, I'm going to find that guy's name.
Mr. Costco, thank you for your great American. It's allowing our friend Chris Algieri to have a hot dog at 10:30
for breakfast. Cheap gas and inexpensive breakfast glizzy. That's the American.
You still have the samples at Costco?
They do, but it was too early. I go there too early in the morning. But I get there before all the...
You have a whole day before we record the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hot here, dude. You got to wake up early. Like, if you wake up late, like, you're just sitting inside cooking. You gotta have a whole... You got to work out in the morning. You got to do your grocery shopping. You got to get it all done.
You got to do all of that. I don't do any of that. No, I get up early. I get up before we record. I always make sure to get up at least 2.5 hours before this episode. So I'm not, you know... Glass-eyed, voices cracking.
But you also live in a Mick condo. Like, you don't have that much to worry about. Like, I have to clean up my house and like do.
I had cleaning ladies come yesterday for the first time.
Exactly.
That was the best experience ever. Yeah. I mean, my apartment, you can eat off the floors. You can eat off the shower floor.
Dan's walking around in his boxers, like, hey. Hi, ladies. Just work around me.
I did stay in the apartment as they cleaned because I don't know. I just don't trust anyone. I have a lot of. I don't know if they're going to steal my.
Yeah, I'm sure they trust you.
Oh, they're going to steal my Mike Tyson signed punch out video. Amazing. I stayed in the apartment and I was watching Moses Itama interviews and I was watching Andrew Ruiz clips. That's where we're going to begin the episode here. It's the heavyweights. They're running the boxing world as they should. There's more Moses Itama fallout. He's given an official statement. We had some corner audio come out from Ben Davison that kind of gets him off the hook a little bit. I want to get your thoughts on that. Abel Sanchez says he doesn't believe in strength and conditioning coach or nutritionist gurus. Taking a shot directly at you, Chris. Says he doesn't believe in your entire profession. You're an adjunct professor of nutrition. Fuck off, says Abel Sanchez. He didn't literally say that.
Yeah.
But here's Moses Itama put out a statement right after the loss.
Yesterday wasn't my night. We attempted greatness and we just fell short to the more experienced man. I want to say congratulations to Filip Pergovic on his win. And although I never reached my desired outcome, I believe I gained experience that I'll take to my future fights. I want to thank the fans in and outside the arena. You guys made it a little bit more special and a little bit more electrifying than I expected. It was a fucking good fight, and I want to thank Queensbury and The Zone for putting this show on. So, God bless, take care, and I'll be back.
All right. Good statement.
Very politically savvy.
Very. Sounded a little tired.
I mean, I would hope so. I would hope so. If he came back and was feeling great, I would be a little upset.
Right. He kind of has that like general appearance to begin with. Like, a lot of his interviews, he sounds like he's half asleep, coming off of a severe exhaustion where he was taken out of the off on a stretcher. Said all the right things there. And said, I'll be back. You know, I'm going to learn from this. That's the main thing is there's in the fallout from this, everyone has chimed in. You know, Vladimir Klitschko, Derek Chisora, Eddie Hearn, Andy Ruiz, everyone in the boxing world has something to say because this guy was picked to be the heir apparent. This guy was the 12-1 favorite. This guy was up on the cards. Every single judge had him so far ahead. So we're going to sit here and we're going to pick it apart. And the main thing to me, moving forward, Chris, is his psyche, is how he's going to handle the loss, how he's going to move forward. Because there were some rumblings of a cocky kid. There were some rumblings of his own admission that he's never sparred 12 rounds. I understand the last episode I said he's never sparred more than 12. That was just me misspeaking. He said he's never sparred 12 rounds. He said that himself. So a lot of the fallout, a lot of the recovery for Atama, I believe is going to come with inside of him, above the shoulders, what he wants to do. Does he want to be great? Is he going to take the necessary changes and all that? And we're going to have to see because it's only been a week, but we're going to see. That's for sure.
Well, the stamina can be fixed. The conditioning, you know, the getting over that seventh round hump, you know, all of that can be fixed. But the scars that are going to be psychological are going to be psychological. That's going to be the toughest part. I got to talk to Robert Garcia a few days ago about this, and I had asked him, I was like, you know, we were saying the same kind of thing, like, you know, conditioning, although Paulo Malignaggi is really pushing back on his ability to even recover in terms of being able to fight differently in order to be, you know.
I kind of agree with Paulie there, but keep going.
And, you know, I was talking to Robert. I was talking to both of them, but I was saying, I'm like, Paulie, hold on. We got to see where this guy goes. This just happened. Like, you know, there is a rebuilding and he can go do his homework if he's really diligent. You know, again, everyone wants to compare him to Vladimir Klitschko and his recovery. Vladimir Klitschko had so much experience and he completely changed his style. He became a much more cautious fighter, jab first, kept the energy level low, kept the pace low, still knocked guys out because he was just, you know, huge and good and a great puncher. But he slowed the pace tremendously. Seems like all of Atama's specialness comes from his pace, his athleticism, his youthful exuberance. So he's going to have to completely change his style, which again is not unheard of and it can happen. We just got to see if he's diligent enough to do that work in the gym. And in terms of the conditioning, that's again, just getting over that hump, being able to do it, all of that is plausible. It's a steep road to get to the top, back to the top. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, or it's, you know, but it is conceivable. But dealing with that, the psychological stress of the fallout from this, all eyes on you, and you crumbling at the first sign of resistance, the first, very first time there was any resistance, you failed miserably. That's really hard to get over. And I was another thing I was talking about that. And I wrote about this in my book, So You Want to Be a Fighter. Like, you get to a point where you feel like you're going to fail and you have a choice and you can go, okay, I can do this or I can do that. And when you choose the dark road, sometimes you never come back. But then when you choose the right road and you endure and you push through and then you get there, you're like, oh, I can get over these. I can get over this hump. You have to do that every time. It's not like, oh, okay, now I got over that one and get over all of them. No, that's the difficult part. You have to get to that point over and over and over again and keep ascending. But once you take that backward step, man, it's really hard to come back.
He did go down swinging.
Oh, absolutely. He fought, but
I will say this. I think the reaction, I'm a little surprised by the reaction because it reminds me of a lot of stuff in boxing where some guys get passes, whether it's for PEDs, whether it's for bad performances. Is a lot of favoritism played, a lot of how you perceive the fighter, a lot of how they're perceived, and so forth. I'm actually surprised at how much of a pass Atama has been getting in the reaction to this, mostly because he was up so big And a lot has to do with the fact that he's so young. So there's a lot of runway for him to change.
Doesn't that make it worse, though, being up so big?
I think it, yes.
Doesn't it make it worse?
I think it makes it worse.
I
think, if anything, people are underestimating how bad of a loss this was. Because he failed at the basics. The slowing down of a fight. Using the jab. Clinching. Holding. Worst case scenario, taking a knee. Just the colossal collapse of it all. Being up so big. Being such a big favorite. First title fight, looked at as the second youngest, the second quickest, whatever, to Mike Tyson.
Second youngest heavyweight champion, second quickest to a title or something like whatever.
The Mike Tyson comparisons, all of this, a colossal, being carried out in a stretcher with no injury now. Like, one thing we can confirm, there was no leg injury. It was pure exhaustion. These are all big time things to get over. This is an embarrassing way to lose a fight, an embarrassing way to leave the ring, all of that. I'm not saying he's not going to bounce back, but it's not just some foregone conclusion that everyone is just like, oh, he'll be fine. You know, his skills are so good. That's why he got in this position, because he himself was like, I don't have to spar 12 rounds. I don't have to do just jab in the ring. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that, because I'm Moses Itama and I have sublime skills. So the same logic that was being placed on him, or he used in his training, we assume, but it's a pretty good assumption, people are using now to say that he's just going to magically bounce back. Like, I'm rooting for him, and I think he will. It's just not a foregone conclusion, because that was just not an average loss. That was a colossal, historic look back in 10 years and be like, do you remember that fight?
Crash and burn. That was a complete crash and burn. And it's going to be a long road for recovery. And it's not, again, I agree with you, it's not a foregone conclusion. It's possible, but it's very difficult. And there's going to be so many people willing to help and jump on the team and get him to that next stage. It's up to him, though. Obviously, that's we're finding out more and more in terms of kind of the psychology of what was going on in camp, based on, you know, what Moses brought to it. I've seen this many times in gyms and in every other sport. The guys with the most talent usually aren't the guys that work the hardest. They're usually so talented, they skate by and they do just enough. I'm not saying he's that guy, but it's starting to seem like that's kind of the case, that he's just so damn good. He knocks everybody out just from even that little soundbite of him talking about the 12 round sparring. Kind of shows you that the mentality. It's like, well, they're not going to last with me anyway, so I don't really need to prepare for that. So that's crazy. It's a very dangerous mindset to have. But Dan, I'm telling you, I have seen this time and time again in gyms. With guys who are just really talented, there are guys who are not in shape and they go out there and fight and they're just so damn good. You know, they do it. I always hear about the stories about Oscar De La Hoya, like, drinking the night before fights. I'm like, could you imagine being that good that you can just, like, party the night before a fight and then go out there and fight a 12-round world championship fight? Like, some guys are that good. They can do things that no one else can do. Moses was that guy and then realized that he's not necessarily that guy at this level.
You talk about the team and how everyone, you know, they've probably gotten calls and there's trainers giving their thoughts and everyone wants to either join the team or have something to say. You know, Ben Davison came under a lot of scrutiny after the fight. What did he say in the corner? What didn't he say? What did he allow in training? What did he allow in training and so forth? DAZN put out a piece of content that they call Raw, which comes out afterwards. It's all like, sounds from fight night, different perspectives. Do I wish that DAZN would put out the corners during the fight? Yes, because all we got was this snippet, which came before the end. This was heading in from the eighth round, heading into the ninth round, the corner of Moses Itama.
The body will stomp it. The body works.
Push me.
Don't chase the head. Right, arms by his side. Take two deep breaths. Control it. In primo. Compose yourself. Relax.
Exactly how we started that last round. Control your lead arms.
Drop the middle of the body. Listen to me. That's all you need. Keep him guessing with that body work. That will push him round the ring, okay?
Sorry. Yeah, so I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was good instruction.
But it came, the criticism that I posted that, and I was like, all right, let's back off Ben a little bit here. And the criticism immediately was, Dan, that was the eighth round. What you could see in that video is Itama looks like he's having an asthma attack. His his lungs look like they're on fire. Like he's, you can see him like breathing out of his chest, and it came at the, did it come too late? But the zone doesn't show us the previous rounds.
Yeah, how many rounds?
What was he saying in round 2, 3, 4, 5? I want to know that. Like, why is that? Why are we not seeing that? What did Davison tell him in those early rounds? Because that was the right stuff I heard there. Composure.
Well, regardless, though, Talma didn't go out and do that. He went on. He was still bombs away in that last round. Like he was still throwing everything at 1,000, and you know, like overworking the engine even more. So it wasn't like he was listening at that point. I mean, granted, maybe he's just overdone. He's overcooked at that point, which obviously he was. But yeah, I can't imagine that out of nowhere, Davis is like, "All right, now, okay, all right, we're losing. You know, now we've lost a round." You know, or lost a moment of a round. Let's get composed now. I doubt that was the case, but yeah, you never know. I don't know if that tape will ever come out. Probably not. But
that's crazy to me. In the world we're living in, where everything is recorded, everything is content. You know, the beauty of HBO boxing was those moments in the corner. You know?
Well, it's going to be damage control. There's a PR now.
Who are we protecting here? Like, this boxing is raw.
We just watch Moses do a political statement. What do you mean? That's what athletes are. That's how big these guys are.
The Zone does have a lot invested in him, but I don't think it's gonna do. I don't think it'd be anything bad. Like, I don't think if the Zone came out and put out what he said, say in round like 4 or 5, Davison's like, yeah, more of that. You know, jump.
But the problem is, what if Davis is trying to get him to compose himself for many rounds and the kid just isn't listening? It's not a good
part of the game.
It's not a good look for Moses' future.
I'm thinking of the best moments from HBO boxing in those corners. Let me pour some water on your balls. Remember that?
You're blowing it, kid. I'll never, that's
you're blowing it. He can't handle your speed, son.
Yes.
Freddie Roach.
Yes.
We are firemen. Teddy Atlas.
That was with Tim Bradley.
It's a reality show in those corners. It's chaos.
And Ben time. And Ben's actually a character too, so he's someone that should be highlighted in those situations.
I don't like that we have to just keep, like, we only got that. Like, those were good instructions, but I want to know what was said earlier. But you're right. If Moses wasn't going to listen, then it doesn't matter. Like, seeing a lot of people come to Ben's defense by saying, look at here. Like, he said everything he needed to hear. The fighter doesn't listen. You can't pin it all on the train.
I think Abel Sanchez actually said that too. He's like, when your charge won't listen to you, it doesn't really matter what you're saying. Like in gyms, and you see that with certain fighters in gyms. Like, what did who said that about Ryan Garcia? But that was
Joe Goosen.
Joe Goosen was like, yeah, you don't really train Ryan. You just you just kind of deal with him.
He said it was a collaboration.
Yeah, it's a collaboration.
That was a wild statement to come from a hard ass like Joe Goosen.
Right, and that might be the case with, you know, in here too. It's like, you know, Ben's like, hey, we're going to do 12 rounds today. I've literally seen fighters be like, no, we're not. No, I'm not. I'm not doing 10 today. I've
like he goes and meets with his team. He comes back. Yeah, Moses isn't doing 12 today.
It could be that. It could be Moses. It could be Moses just being like, no, I'm not doing 10. Bro, I've seen guys just step out of the ring. It doesn't matter. Like, you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. If you don't want to do it, you don't want to. I've seen guys roll out of the bottom rope countless times.
Like literally, like
on like I'm tired and I'm gonna lay down and roll out of the bottom rope.
I've seen Bob Arum enter the ring like that once.
What year was that?
Recently.
What?
They rolled him into the ring.
Bob Arum.
I remember I was at the fight and he couldn't get through the ropes. I remember he rolled right in.
In his suit.
Oh yeah.
Love it. Bob was the best.
Love that. Rolled right in, rolled right out. Abel Sanchez, speaking of Abel, he's getting a lot of praise. Deserved.
Yeah.
Deserved. Good trainer. He was a little bit out of the spotlight after him and Golovkin had that falling out. And since Golovkin has retired, I think I saw something like he's trained 20 fighters to world titles. Like, does it old school.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting a lot of praise by the Hergovich win. He has came out and said that we don't have strength and conditioning coaches and nutrition gurus. No vitamins. So bring me into this world here, because I don't really know much about it. What does that mean? When he says we don't allow strength and conditioning coaches, you know, obviously they're doing some type of strength and conditioning, but it's under what Sanchez believes in. Have you heard of this technique, and what is this?
Yeah, it's control. It's having control of the camp. And it is old school, and I get it, but you got to take it for what it is. It's controlling the camp. I've been in camps where someone tried to fire me as a nutritionist because, no, we got our own guys. Like, no. No, this is my guy. The fighter says, no, this is my guy. He's staying. I hired him to be here. I don't care if you have your own guys. This is my team. This is my career. So that's just, it's a form of control, you know, and I understand it is, again, it's old school. It's like Manuel Stewart back in the day said, I won't train a fighter I'm not managing. It's control. You want to be able to control all the aspects.
It's like that's a Muhammad Ali act.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of it, but it's also like, I don't want the manager coming to me and be like, hey, we're going to fight this guy. And then the trainer go, stylistically, this is a really bad fight. This is not the right fight for right now. Well, the manager's like, oh, it's a done deal. So you can see the conflict there. And similar here, like you have a strength and conditioning coach who wears out the fighter, and then he has to spar. And then the coach is like, this guy's out of shape. What the hell's going on? And he's like, no, he's just sore from training. What the hell are we doing? We're here to spar. So there's a lot of that. And then nutrition, I understand that as well, because you're keeping out peds. You don't want any accidental ped exposure, which happens a lot. Normally when guys get in, outside forces who come in and they bring their supplements, they bring their whatever, their taint stuff. But, you know, the no vitamins thing, that's just kind of, that's an old school. I'm sure Ergovic is taking vitamins. I'm sure he's taking supplements on his own. He's not going to fence what he puts in his body, you know, before the fight. But keeping out a nutrition quote-unquote guru, I totally get that, because it is
so dangerous. Who's picking up the slack here? Because you need strength and conditioning. It's part of the sport.
You do. So again, I'm sure he's got his own team. We come in the gym.
But you're saying Abel's got a guy there.
Got a guy, or Abel does it himself. We're doing all our conditioning
he
on the back.
He said that he would run. He would have the legitimate old school, like, yeah, Rocky style
car. He's got a stopwatch, and we're doing bag work. Dude, you could do, I mean, I think.
So it's an old school approach.
Yeah, and I think conditioning wise, most important thing is sparring. Running for a heavyweight, I don't think is really that great, but there's a lot of other, you know, things you can do cardio wise. But dude, sparring is everything. Sparring is everything. And you're doing your heavy bag work and get a lot of conditioning done in your bag. Sprint work, you can still do that in the gym. It's not strength conditioning. Like, you need a guru for it. Abel can probably do all that. He's probably there with a stopwatch. You know, he probably has an assistant. Every coach has an assistant. Maybe that guy has a good idea about strength conditioning, and they've done it time and time again. And one thing about all of Abel's guys over the years, they're all supremely conditioned. All of them. So yeah, Obviously he's doing something right.
Yeah, it was refreshing to hear. Interesting to hear. He's taking that victory lap. And Hrgović came into the fight in unbelievable shape. I think he was a fight low in terms of weight.
Yeah, he looked lean too.
To go along with an absolute granite chin, to have great stamina.
These Croatians,
those are ingredients you need as a heavyweight.
That's in his DNA. Those Croatian jaw. Those guys all have
cannot
that.
Teach
Luka Plantic last week with Lester Martinez. Same thing. I just like Croatian jaw, man.
Well, he's got a big head. Yeah, Lester. He looks like a bobblehead.
No, I was talking about. I think about his opponent, Luka Plantic, also has a big head, but a big square jaw. I mean, so does Ergovic. They're just strong people.
Or Canelo has a big head, yeah. big neck. From riding them horses, Jim Lampley.
That is not from riding the horses. I sparred him when he was 19 years old. His neck was...
No, Lampley said it, dude.
His neck was as big as my thigh. He was 19.
Yeah, but like I heard that the riding of the horses strengthens the vertebrae in the neck.
I heard Jim say that as well. But I'm just telling you, I don't think he was riding...
I love Jim Lampley. I love when he gets onto a piece of information, he really runs with it.
Some of those things actually come to fruition. He's talking about Benavidez as heavyweight. That's looking more and more like it could happen.
Right? That's a good...
Yeah, that was a good call.
Good take from Jim. So that's the latest with Talma fallout. He says he wants a rematch with Hrgović. That's not going to happen. Hrgović says, I want all the champions, whether it's Wardley, I want a rematch with Dubois, I want Caballel. I don't think those are going to happen next. I do think the Frank Sanchez fight has to happen.
It's going to be forced,
he took step-aside money. He doesn't get this title, Hrgović, without the Frank Sanchez fight. Also, I think it's a good fight.
Very good fight.
Frank Sanchez, Hrgović, let's go. Sign me up for that.
That's another one where Hrgović's durability could win him the day. Frank Sanchez is good. He's very good. He's smart. He definitely knows how to box. He can punch. He's a good size heavyweight. It's a very good fight. It's a very acceptable heavyweight title fight.
For sure. It's something different. Sanchez in my top 10. Heavyweight division is on fire right now. Whether it's the Atama Hrgović fight we just saw, Fabio Wardley and Dubois getting into a face-off and officially announcing their fight at the press conference.
Such an awesome fight.
Another great stare-down produced in that one where Wardley's trying to be buddy-buddy with Dubois. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
So yesterday they had their official press conference to announce the fight. They have another stare down. On Saturday, Dubois said, give me some of that face-to-face shit, boy. Still processing.
Very awkward.
So then this time around, they're having the face-to-face. Dubois sweating everywhere. Head, he's sweating from the neck. He's wearing a suit, of course. And Wardley is chatting him up. Like, hey, buddy, like I thought we were, like, can we be cool after the fight? And Dubois like, none of that shit right now. And Wardley's like, well, I thought we were friends. I thought you said we could be friends afterwards. And Dubois.
Wait, these are quotes? These are the things that Wardley was saying?
These are, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They mic'd them up.
Oh, wow.
And Wardley's playing some type of mind games now. He's trying to, he figures, you know what? I can't just beat this guy in the ring. I got to try to crack his brain, which is not going to be easy. And Wardley's trying to be buddy-buddy. He's trying to be friendly with, hey, can we be friends afterwards? I thought we were friends. Dubois like, fuck that shit.
I love that. What he said. I love that. I like that. I like the mental games. I like at first when I was thinking when I was hearing this, I was like, I don't like this thing that Wardley's doing. But actually, I kind of do because he's trying to be deceptive and strategic. Yeah, I don't know what his angle is, but he's not a dumb guy, Wardley. So and he's not a fearful guy either. So not fearful is not the right word. He's not really trying to buddy buddy up to him. He's angling for something.
He's trying something.
I like the attempt, but I also like the block by Dubois. Fuck that shit.
Fuck that. He's like, fuck that shit. And like, it was really, I mean, this guy is amazing.
Oh, Dubois is awesome.
Thought it'd be a good time to re-rank the top 10 at heavyweight. There's been a lot of movement, been a lot of good wins, been a lot of bad losses. So I'm going to start off. I know we have some differences.
Wait, start off. Before we start, I knew we needed to have some differences. So
yeah, of course.
I got some interesting takes. So I was thinking, when it was like one or the other, I'm like, I think Dan's gonna go this way. So I think let me stir the pot a little bit.
Well, we agree at number 10. We both have Gassiev at 10.
Yeah.
At 9, I have Joshua.
Wow, way down. Okay.
And 8, I have Fury.
Way down. Okay.
Yeah, I think that I'm going with the youth movement ahead of them, and I just think both of them have shown such weaknesses in their last couple of fights that they're still top 10, but I got them towards the back. Well, you have Jalilov at 9 and Frank Sanchez at 8.
Yeah, I got Jalilov gets no love. I know he hasn't looked good his last two fights, but like I still need to see him in with somebody who can fight because he has all the skills to be. He has all the skills to be champion, honestly, but he hasn't shown that. That's why I got him all the way up at 9. He's big. He has he's an Olympic gold medalist. He is a tremendous amateur. He's got great movement, and when he's on, he's a real issue. But again, I haven't seen him really tested. Sanchez, I would have higher, but that knee is always in question for me. That's always going to be an issue. And you know, he had the Torres fight. I wrote him up before the Torres fight, and then he knocks out Torres. I don't know in hindsight. I don't know how well that fight's going to age. I don't know where Torres really goes from there. So I still have a lot of questions about Sanchez. I do think he's very good. I said that earlier, but I think this weight class is weird and tough right now.
So I have a Talma 7. And I noticed you don't have a Talma at all.
No,
is that a mistake?
No, I don't think he belongs in the top 10 right now.
Wow,
who is he beaten anywhere near the top 10 before? You know this, and he was 100% winning this fight easily. And then fell off. He just can't go 12 rounds. I can't put him in 12. I can't put him in a top 10 for a 12 round, contest, especially right now.
I kind of I'm making me question my Atama at 7.
Yeah, how do I? He might not be able to make 12 rounds on his own, let alone if he had resistance. So how am I going to?
He was put into that top 10 by the eye test. He's put in that top 10 by politics. I fell for it. I still have him at 7. You don't have him at all. I find that's very interesting. You got Joshua at 7. I got Tom at 7. I got Frank Sanchez at 6. At 6, you have Wardley. I have Wardley at 5. So we're very close there. Top 5 for you. You got Hrgović, Fury, Caballel, Dubois, Usyk. My top 5 is Wardley, Hrgović, Caballel, Dubois, Usyk.
Wow, you had Dubois too there. As well? I thought for sure you're going to have Caballel. I thought you were going to have Caballel too, for sure. Damn.
We both have the same top 3.
Yeah.
You just have Fury at 4, and I got Hrgović at 4.
Yeah, I think Fury can beat Hrgović.
You think Fury can beat Hrgović?
I do.
I don't know why. Like, I just look at – I have Fury and Joshua, like, two nine toes out of the sport.
Yeah, but Fury needs one toe. He's
– But then again, I could see Fury just being, like, if he beats Joshua, being, like, I can beat all the other guys. I see massive holes in their game.
Been saying this for months. Fury does not end his career with Joshua. Especially if he wins. If he wins, he's going – right for the top, dude. I'm telling you, he's gonna fight one of the. Usyk will probably be gone. He'll go in and fight Ergovic. He'll fight Caballel. He's nuts, man. He'll do it.
Yeah, he's putting out these the latest. Have you been catching up with the latest with AJ and Fury? I had fatigue like a week in.
Yeah, I have fatigue. What are they doing now?
Hearn went on Ariel's show yesterday and said there will be a resolution in the next 24 to 48 hours.
All right, so we'll find out. We'll find out on Monday.
One way. We'll find out one way or another. Fury is putting out his front-facing videos, putting all the pressure on Joshua, making it out to seem like Joshua was the one ducking it. Signed the contract. He's got Mike Tyson in his videos telling Joshua that he's scared. It's a full-on assault from Fury saying sign the contract when the contract's already been signed. The contract was signed for the fight to happen in the UK. And in the contract, I said, if it's going to be anywhere outside of the UK, then we need to revisit the
negotiate or the
right. Deal, and the contract. It's pretty obvious what's going on now. It's Fear is AJ's side. And Hearn, they're just asking for more money.
Yeah,
you know, they're asking for more concessions. I think there's a tax implications here fighting in the US. There were some outstanding invoices that were not fulfilled from Sella for AJ's last fight with Pranga. There was
but I heard he got paid
stuff,
for that, like, though. I heard they got
paid. Right, he got paid. We all love getting paid for our work. It's just both sides. You have Hearn almost pretending that he wants to fight at Wembley. It's just about money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Fury is happy with his side. It's very obvious. This is a Fury promotion. Zuffa, Sella, they're all on the side of Fury. So he's happy. He's putting the pressure on Joshua, who's not a Sella fighter for the most part. I know his last couple fights were, but is a matchroom guy. He's very loyal to Hearn. Hearn is going at it with the Sella folks and is ready to burn that bridge. It's very obvious what's going on, but I think the fans have fatigue. You and I have fatigue. It's a fight that's 10 years too late, and it's taking 10 years to make now. It's a joke what's happening with this fight.
Hearn is doing his job. Like you said, Joshua's essentially going in enemy territory in a number of ways. One, dealing with, you know, this promotion with Sella and them, but also going back to New York. That's not where Joshua wants to be. He'd much rather in Miami. He'd much rather in Vegas. New York is historically not good for him. And that is an issue. The demons that live in the garden are not going to go unnoticed for Joshua. So it's very against him. And Hearn is utilizing the leverage that he has based on the original negotiation and contract to protect this guy. I get it. Hearn's doing a very good job. And Hearn does have personal relationships with a lot of his guys, none bigger than what he has with AJ. So he's going to do his very, very best to make sure that his man has the best deal possible. And that's just part of it. But yes, listen, what Tyson's saying, it is on Joshua's side because Tyson's good to go.
Mike and Tyson Fury.
Yeah, Mike and Tyson. Yeah, he recruiting Mike Tyson. I wonder why you got to pay Mike to do that. We should get Mike on our show.
It looks like it was just some random meetup. Like, they would just happen to be in the same room together, stuck a camera in his face. Like, I guarantee Tyson has no idea about the inner workings of the negotiations here. He's just like, I'll just say whatever the fuck. I'm Mike Tyson, probably stoned.
Next time you see Mike, grab him and be like, tell the world the best boxing podcast is Inside Boxing with Chris and Dan.
Don't say anything. I just actually just posted a video on our socials of me and Mike Tyson where he was explaining the spinal moment.
Spinal.
Every once in a while, I'll repost some great content of ours, some like evergreen stuff.
Mike is evergreen, no question.
Right. I have a lot with Mike over the years. This one is doing pretty good so far. We got a lot of comments. People are enjoying it. LMAO, love that. Heard it was some motorcycle accident. I heard a rumor that he broke his back at a strip club. My back is broken. Yeah, so that's what's going on in the heavyweight division. Hopefully we get some resolution on that. Like, if it's going to be at the Garden, which I'm not 99% sure it's going to be there.
It's got to be.
We're going to put on one of the best pre-fight parties ever.
Selfishly.
Ever?
Ever.
Listen, if it's not going to be, we're going to make the best of it. I already got, I put it out on Twitter, like, hey, guys, I understand we want this fight at Wembley, but if it's going to be at MSG, you can count on Inside Boxing to throw a great pre-fight party. And I had a lot of replies, from our British friends that are coming over that will join in.
Nice.
So I think we'll make the best of it. It'll be like an end of the year type of celebration. You know, it'll be our third party of the year, which would be awesome.
That's a big year.
Something we, big year for us. Like our last one was Boots. First one was Secor. We'll be back at Jack Doyle's home base. So yes. We'll make the best of it. Friday, November 20th, they're looking at it. Friday night.
I think my my hangover from the fallout of this fight not being in Wembley is completely over. And I'm just like, all right, let's just make the fight. Let's just move on. You know, like, I was really bummed about that for a little bit. There was a couple of weeks where I was like, this has to be at Wembley. What are we doing? It can't be in New York. Like, it's not going to work. Now I'm like, I don't care. Let's just get the fight. The fatigue is real. Like, let's just...
What you just explained is how a lot of boxing fans feel about pretty much everything in boxing.
Yeah, no, that's true.
They want it a certain way. The powers that be get in the way and they take away certain things.
And then we just shrug our shoulders and go, all right.
And we order it, and we watch it, and we rinse and repeat. We get violated. They take our pants down and they violate us.
We are a abused.
Saying that for years.
Yeah, we are abused. We are abused as fans.
Used and abused.
And they take our money. Like, it's not like they pay us for our services. We pay them.
Taking our time and our money. A lot of money to be a boxing fan. Free fight this weekend if you have TNT.
Yeah.
Andy Ruiz, Damian Canaiba. I think that's how you say it. I watched a video on it. Eddie Hearn said Canaiba.
I thought it was Canaiba, but whatever.
Whatever Eddie says. Eddie said Canaiba. It's Friday night. Rare Friday night TNT cards also on DAZN. Andy Ruiz is back. Are we buying Andy Ruiz's return as a legitimate heavyweight?
I am, because we just talked about the top 10 and it's not super deep. Like, it's not the craziest top 10 of all time. So I am taking him seriously.
He's 36 years old, has not fought since August of 2024. That was a draw against Jarrell Miller in which he broke his hand. He only has three fights since 2019. 2019 was his last big win, which was over Anthony Joshua. He comes in overweight and just unbothered in the rematch. Loses the rematch. Couldn't be bothered to fight in the rematch.
Unbothered.
And then it's been nothing from Andy Ruiz. I like Andy Ruiz. I think he's great for boxing. They're putting him on TNT because he has a fan-friendly style. He's a Mexican-American. But I can't buy into it. I can't buy into him, number one. I just don't think he has the big fan base that everyone says he does. And he thinks he has a huge fan base. He has priced himself out of numerous fights over the last 5 years. But I will say this, though. I do agree that the heavyweight division is ripe and it's wide open. And he does have a big name and he does have a big promoter now with Eddie. He wins this fight, which I don't think is going to be an easy fight. And he has to win another fight after this. But he has to show me something on Friday night. He has to show everyone something. On Friday, he almost needs like a spectacular stoppage or a one-sided decision win over Canaiba, who is 6'8" with an 86-inch reach.
I've called Canaiba. He was in the only card of the Danny Garcia versus Danny Gonzalez fight last year, and he looked good. He was long, popping that jab, dropping the right hand, a good power. He's big, good boxing ability. And then obviously we saw him against Agut Kabayel, in which he pieced Agut up for about a round and a half. And then
fell off a cliff.
And then, well, body shots will do that because...
And he stopped jabbing.
Yeah, well, Kabayel, he's such a good body puncher. He's the best body puncher in the heavyweight division. And he goes out there and he stops him a few rounds later. But Canaiba can fight. And Andy is Andy. You know, he's super talented, but he's... It's just like you were talking about. He's mixed in terms of his performances. But I think he has enough to get by Canaiba, and he probably stops him.
Yeah, like Canaiba, like he did fall off that cliff fast against Hrgović. It was a horrible stoppage. Rewatched the fight yesterday. Horrendous stoppage. Really, really bad. Robbed us of a great ending. He is huge. He's 6'7". He has the extreme reach.
He uses it. He uses it well because he can move too. He's not just a big plotter. He can move.
First couple minutes of the fight against Hrgović, against Caballo.
Piecing him up.
He's jabbing, jabbing, jabbing. And he's also like being very physical. all over the smaller guy, and I expect him to do the same thing to Ruiz, who's even smaller than Caballo, is jab, 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 and then make it rough. Like, Andy Ruiz doesn't really like it rough. Andy Ruiz fights like a middleweight.
Yeah.
He's small.
I know he's a heavyweight. He's a small guy.
Dude, you see there's face-to-face? It was insane, yeah. The size difference.
Well, I've seen him getting interviewed by, like, female reporters, and they're eye-to-eye. So, like, he's not a big guy.
No, he's not a big guy, and I think Canaiba will be smart to implement the same game plan he had against Caballo in the beginning with the jab, and then use the physicality and make it a little rough in there on Ruiz, who hasn't fought in quite a while, who is a finesse type of fighter, speed type of fighter. That's another thing too, 36 years old, depending on speed, I understand you can age well as a heavyweight and your power will be there. And Ruiz is not a devastating puncher. He's speed. He's placement. He is the punch that you don't see. Was very good in his day. But what are we basing like this fight off of? He is a -280 favorite. Canaiba is +205. So he's a decently sized favorite, but I was expecting it to be a little wider. I don't have anything to base it Ruiz off of. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to be going off of wins in 2019. Oh my God, this guy was a former heavyweight champion. He beat Anthony Joshua. That was a lifetime ago.
He hasn't had a win since 2022.
That's insanity.
Yeah. And he was fighting 56-year-old Luis Ortiz. And before
wasn't
that...
Wasn't he down in that fight?
And before...
It was the Areola fight. Areola
knocked him down, who was also 50 years old at the time. And that was 2 years before that. So, yeah, he's been very inactive. His performances have not been good. He hasn't scored a stoppage. Wow. Since 2019, since the first AJ fight. Wow.
Ruiz by stoppage is +120 right now on FanDuel. Canaiba points +410. Canaiba, what is it? Wait, Canaiba stoppage is +500.
Should be more than that.
I don't know, man. Like,
if Canaiba by decision is +400 and stoppage is +500, how does that work? It should be plus by stoppage. It should be way more than that.
+410. Yeah, it's only it's a pretty small difference
margin,
there.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Heavyweight underdogs are in vogue right now. I know a lot of people are looking at Canaiba. A lot of people looking at the value there.
Is this a 10 rounder or a 12 rounder?
12 rounds, I want to say. It doesn't say here.
Because Andy hasn't fought in a long time. To go right back into a 12 rounder.
I'm pretty sure it's 12. It's got it.
No, it says 12. Yeah, it's 12.
I don't see it going the distance.
So you don't see Canaiba winning?
No, I don't. But I don't see Ruiz being spectacular either.
No, I don't. I think he's going to struggle mightily at times during this fight. And I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be an overhand right that's going to catch Canaiba at some point.
I could see a late like barrage, slow start.
I think he's going to clip him with a shot. Canaiba's going to go down awkwardly. He's going to get up and then barrage and then just rough him up.
Canaiba's good, but he's not world class. No. Like, he's in here for a reason, and he has been beat a few times, has been stopped. Yeah, I think Ruiz will win. I don't think he'll be spectacular. I don't think we're going to see some type of rebirth here. I think Matchroom is looking to catch lightning in a bottle here. I'm not fully on board the Andy Ruiz train.
They got Andy Ruiz listed as 6'2". There's no way he's 6'2".
No, he's not. I've interviewed him before, and he had like maybe an inch on me. He's like 5'10".
Yeah, that's a crazy number. 6'2".
Canaiba, like they say, he has an 86-inch reach. Doesn't that seem absurd?
That's absurd. Very long. Well, he is 6'7". So,
because I saw Grisham posted a picture with, did you see that? With, what's his name? Sergio Mora, who has a 72-inch reach, put his arm out. And it was like to the chest of Canaiba. Canaiba put his, and Canaiba's fist was on his chin.
Whoa.
It was on Sergio's chin.
Canaiba lives in Copec, New York.
No way.
Yeah.
I lived in Copec, New York for like a couple months.
Wow.
Big time Polish contingency.
Yeah, very much. A lot of.
No way. This guy's
I might have to change who I'm rooting for now. I got a Long Islander here.
Bro. Oh, wow. He does live in Copec. Dude, Copec's got like, it's all Polish. My brother lived there for years and I moved into his house for like 6 months. And they have like Polmart. They have all these Polish stores.
Yep. I used to go into those all the time. They have great, great Polish sausage.
So that's why, I mean, there are going to be a lot of Poles at the...
Poles are great fans.
They can make the trip.
Great fans.
Newark. I mean, I will never forget the Adam Konacki era.
Well, I was around for the Galata era. I was at Galata Bird when I was a kid with my brother.
Were you at Galata Bo?
I was, thank God I was not, no. But I was,
Bob Canobio was there and I was watching at home, very, very worried.
Yeah, yeah, I remember watching that with my grandfather being like, what is going on?
Polish are good fans until...
Until you lose. Then they become bad fans for everybody else.
Well, I will say after when Konacki lost that last fight at Barclays, mm-hmm. which was 2020, it was like a few weeks before COVID really shut everything down. I remember being at that fight.
It was a week before COVID shut down.
Yeah.
It was like 9 days before they had the first closing.
And Konacki got beat, so got stopped. And it was so quiet in there.
Yeah.
It was so loud beforehand.
I think I might have been patient zero because I was sick that weekend. I was in the crowd sick. So I was probably...
A lot of people were.
I probably had COVID already. And probably was just...
Kopech, New York.
That's pretty cool.
Well, how many still... The fact that he still lives there, that's awesome. So yeah, Knibba, I'm changing my pick. Knibba by stop.
Long Island strong, baby.
Long Island strong. This guy's going to go on. He's going to fight Hergovich next. He's going to climb the ranks. He's going to be at the top five, Knibba.
I
wouldn't be that shocked.
Do you know his name? The nickname? Polish Hussar? Polish. Hussar? Or Hussar? Hussar? I think it's Polish Hussar.
Polish Hussar? What is that?
It's like a warrior. Like he's like, so his nickname is like Polish warrior.
Hell yeah, man.
This guy, hell yeah. This guy rules.
I wouldn't be shocked if he won.
I wouldn't either.
Like it's not out of the realm. It's heavyweight division. Anything could happen. Big guy, big puncher. Looks like an offensive-minded guy. Ruiz hasn't fought in years. Hasn't looked good in years. I mean, we sit here in the next episode talking about how Andy Ruiz is officially done. Would not shock me at all, but I'm going with Ruiz, late stoppage.
Same.
Vito Milnicki, Amo Williams, crossroads fight.
Yeah, very much. That's a very much a crossroads fight.
I think Milnicki has a little more momentum than Amo. Amo is 30 years old, has fought much better competition, but has taken beatings in those fights. The Shiraz fight and the Adamas fight for Amo. It's been a rough go for Amo Williams in his short time as a pro. I think Amo's got the firepower, got the bigger punching ability, but is a little shop-worn. Milnicki, better technical fighter. Another close fight on the odds. Plus 102, Milnicki.
Wow.
You know, you can't get any closer than that.
No. That's even money.
It's hard to pick this one. It's really hard to pick this one. This is one of Milnicki's best opponents.
It is absolutely Milnicki's best opponent. Amo's good. He's a good athlete. Very, very good athlete. Kind of learning on the job as a pro boxer. Has some good wins. Has some bad losses, like you said. This is a pick 'em fight if there is one. I like your assessment of Milnicki being fresher. Also got a lot of momentum and good sparring behind him. And Austin, who outside the ring stuff can be a little up and down. He's a local guy. I see him sometimes here in Boca. Like I was riding my bike, probably in the past year or so. And I'm like, literally past him. I'm like, hey, Amo. He's like, hey, Chris Altieri. Like literally just like passing like two.
Seems like a great guy.
Oh, he's amazing. He's great. So he's got his dog with him. I interviewed him a lot when he first signed with Matchroom back in the day. He worked the desk with me a few times too. Great, great, great guy. Great guy. Interesting fight
for him though. This could be it. I know he's like, people love him at Matchroom. He's been through a lot.
He only loses to really good fighters. He's only lost to
Shiraz fighters.
Shiraz and Adamas. Like, he's only lost to like fantastic fighters. So, a loss here is a real degradation from the kinds of guys that he's lost
to. He might even get dropped from Matchroom.
If he loses this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
There's so much on the line here. Milnicki needs that signature win, be a big win for Milnicki. Good one. Co-main event. And then Alan Chaves. I hope I'm saying it right. Or Chaves. Or it's spelled Chaves. Hard punching lightweight. Is fighting Erdison Garcia.
Erdison?
Chaves. Erdison Garcia.
Erdison Garcia. He's, wait, who is this?
Alan Chaves. Chaves.
Alan Chaves?
He's supposed to fight. Yeah, he's supposed to fight. He's ranked highly in WBO. He's number two in the WBO. He's 22-0 at 19 stoppages.
You're talking about the Argentinian kid?
Yes.
Yes, Alan, yes. He is awesome.
Like, yes, he's on this card.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I love that he's fighting on TNT. I love that he's on this card. I think, you know, he's, if the, looking at the WBO rankings, he's number two. Cardina is number one. He has issues getting to the U.S. He's not going to be fighting Abdullah Mason anytime soon. Abdullah Mason, you know, if he has to go the mandatory route, it could be Chavez.
Chavez,
yeah. How do you say his name? I don't know.
Chavez.
Chavez.
That's why I don't know who you're saying. Punch. You're like, but he's all, the guy he's fighting, Ritson Garcia is good. This is a nice fight. Ritson Garcia can fight. He had a very, very close fight with Andres Cortez, who's fighting coming up. But that's a good fight. And Alan Chavez, he is super legit. Super legit.
It's a pretty good card. The more I look at it, I was a little upset. It's like, all right, we've got these TNT once a month. So we got to put our best foot forward. We got to put our best product out there. Don't like the Fundora fight that they're doing next month on TNT. It was like, Andy Ruiz, what are we going to do here? Well, like we said earlier, this is what they give us, and we'll watch. But I think this is a sneaky good card.
No, it's not.
The Ruiz fight could be a banger.
It's a good card. You got Mexican versus a Polish guy, so you're going to get a good fan base. It's in Newark, so people are going to come out for that. Melnicki's a ticket.
Expecting a big number.
Melnicki's a ticket seller. Austin Williams is a good name. It's a good fight. Alan Chavez is probably the most talented guy on the entire card.
I hope it's a coming out party for him, because not a lot of people know who he is. I think they should definitely beat the drum that he could be Abdullah Mason's next opponent.
Yeah.
Or like at least like put out that notion like Mason doesn't want to fight this guy. And look at him. He could punch 19 stab. He gets a big spectacular knockout.
The problem is he's got a tough fight. Ritson Garcia can fight. That's like he's a hard guy to look good against. So
Zaquin Moses, who is probably one of the five best prospects in boxing. He's a cousin of Shakur Stevenson. He's kicking off the TNT telecast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen him. Yep.
7-0, three knockouts. Like that aspect of it. You got a little bit of something for a little bit of everything. Something for everyone. That's what I was looking for. Something for everyone on this card. On TNT, our friend Adam Lefko hosting Prudential Center.
Adam.
Whole spiel. I love the TNT cards. I love the attention to detail. I love the production that they put into it. It's going to be great. Friday night too. Not a Saturday, guys.
Love Friday night.
Friday night because of the holiday weekend, I assume. I also think it's
what holiday is it? What is it?
We got Labor Day on Monday.
Oh, what does that mean? What is Labor Day? We celebrate
end of the summer.
We're celebrating labor. I work all the time. What are we talking about?
Laborious. We're celebrating the labor of Americans.
Not like we get off or anything.
There's no like military connotation with Labor Day. It's just mostly about the working force of America.
Well,
the day off, the day to drink, day to be merry, day to
I'm gonna be working anyway. I'm gonna be working, and then when I'm not working, I'm working in my garage and on my house, because I don't live in a Mick condo like you. I have to
can't afford a house.
I have to knock walls down. I gotta, you know, get electrocuted, putting in lighting.
Raise my rent 5%.
Bro, don't even talk. Bullshit. But my home, my house insurance, my taxes are coming up.
Oh, I was just reading something on Florida about how there's no income tax, but they'll get you on a million other different things.
Yeah, well,
you know, you're paying.
My housing tax is ridiculous in Boca.
The HOAs.
Well, that I don't have that. My condo does, but my house doesn't have that. I don't know that.
That's because I was reading up on how Florida isn't the oasis that a lot of people think it is.
Nah, it's financial. Everything's a money grab.
No, end the show.
Unabysmal. Oh, end the show. Hot dogs at Costco are still $1.50. Inflation proof. Morning glizzy.
Yeah, I love that.
Morning glizzies.
I love that. I'm going to go get one. Katie Taylor fights this weekend against Flora Pilli. Check this fight out. Katie Taylor should win. It's her last fight. It's at Croke Park, which hasn't put on a boxing event in decades. They had to move mountains to get it here. They're expecting 83,000 fans.
God bless.
For Katie Taylor, they're airing it on live to free television in Ireland. They're airing it on RTE, which is free television for the entire country. She is an absolute icon over there. An unbelievable career for Katie Taylor, if you think about it. Like, she is the reason why there is women's boxing in the Olympics. She had an unbelievable amateur career. She wins gold. She was an unbelievable soccer player in Ireland. She's a great ambassador. She's a great person. She goes on to have an unbelievable boxing career. Fights Madison Square Garden against Amanda Serrano, Netflix, multiple world titles. And then she gets the proper send-off Like, we've seen a lot of boxing careers come and go. Like, they never end like this. It's an unbelievable story. It's awesome. I'm a big fan of Katie Taylor. I still think she's number one in women's boxing until she retires. I think this will be it. I don't really have her as a fighter that's going to keep coming back. So if anything, I'm going to tune in to see the spectacle on Saturday afternoon.
Couldn't be a more deserving person in terms of her accomplishments, you know, the way that she's approached the sport, the way that she carries herself. She's sweet as could be. She's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And just a hard worker, man. She's just the discipline, the hard work, doing all the work behind the scenes and then performing under the lights. That's what it's all about. And she's made a whole career off of that. And she's going to get a proper send-off. So, man, the people in there are going to have so much fun. That's going to be such a fun event.
Oh my God, yeah. You know, Pete C. Carroll from Uncrowned is there. And he's been doing an unbelievable job covering it and talking about it on Ariel's show. And just what it means to the Irish fans. You know, because if you know this, the Irish fans are not behind Conor McGregor.
No.
They actually, like, can't stand him. Like, they, you know, they look at him as a national embarrassment.
He's burned every bridge he's ever walked over. So that doesn't
surprise me. And Katie Taylor is the icon, the hero, 83,000. And they also couldn't do fights at this arena because of everything that was going on with Kinahan for years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she should have fought here years ago. Yeah. And it was always, like, the thought is, like, can we get Katie at Croke Park? And Eddie Hearn was like, I'll try my hardest. And literally had to, like, do so much to get it here. Perfect send-off. Great career. She should win. She loses. I mean, like, we've seen that happen.
Yeah, we've seen fights. It happen. It won't affect her legacy. We'll put it that way.
Miguel Cotto lost his farewell fight.
Yeah.
I was there. I remember being in the locker room with him, and I'm like, he's my favorite fighter, probably second behind Gotti.
Was that the Saddam Ali fight?
Yeah.
That was brutal. Tore his bicep. Got dropped, but willed himself just to make it to the end. Like, and Saddam was, like, so surprised what was going on. Like, he really didn't go in to finish it. Like,
Saddam Ali's dad was sitting right in front of us, and he was so happy. Yeah. He kept standing up in front of my dad while my dad was trying to count the punches. Mm-hmm. We almost had a fight right there. One thing you should never do is stand up in front of Bob Canovia when he's counting punches. He has literally choked people out for that.
I really like Saddam's dad. He's
yeah, he's crazy.
He's great. He's great.
Then they hugged at the end. Like, him, his dad, and my dad, like, they hugged it out because I was like, you know, a happy father. Yeah. Your son just had the biggest win of his career. My dad is a father as well. My dad is a father. Good gracious. Good.
Time to go. Time to go, guys. We got to go.
My dad is a father.
Oof.
I'm just trying to find the odds here. Whatever. Katie Taylor is a -3,000 favorite.
Yeah, she's going to win.
I'm checking that fight out Saturday. Friday night, I'm watching TNT. Saturday, Sunday, I'm playing golf. Monday, put my feet up, all the labor that I've done throughout the year.
I'll be laboring.
All right, everyone. My father is a dad. Everyone, enjoy the show. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy everything.
Gotta put that on a T-shirt.
Have a great Labor Day, everyone out there. Enjoy the long weekend. We'll be back at some point. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Good night.